This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson, Craig Hoffman, happy to be with you, breaking down the tape of the Commanders offense and specifically Jaden Daniels' performance. We'd also love to hear from you, hoffmanshow.com/survey. The survey will be open until the end of the year, and you can provide your feedback on the show, and we'd love to hear from you. And by the way, as a special gift for participating in that survey, for letting us know what you think, we're going to be 50% off the brand new Take Command merch, which is available at the 106.7 The Fan store from Breaking Tea. Okay, Logan, let's talk about Jaden Daniels' performance. We just talked about it through the lens of the sacks. But once you get beyond those, you know, eight plays, there is just so much good on this tape. His ability to make plays with his legs, some of the arm stuff he does, the platform, the reads. I mean, look, the Terry stuff, he's got three big misses, all of which actually hit Terry in the hands. And Terry, I'm sure, would be like, I should catch those. Jaden would say, I got to put them on him. But those are all good reads, good recognition, good decision making. What you said earlier in the pod, you thought this might have been his best game of the year. Why?
Yeah, I think for a lot of the reasons you just said. Like, I was going through and I'm pulling clips for the Command Center show, which airs on Thursday or whatever, Friday. And I'm going to do a breakdown on there talking about this. And so obviously you get the kind of the amazing plays, you know, the touchdown to Terry where he falls down and gets back up and throws it, the third and one where he breaks out and does like a backflip and gets a first down, and the 15 yards. Like, those are plays that everyone's going to recognize and see and be like, wow, this is what makes him special. But to me, it's not even that. It's quite frankly, like, the stuff that he does. Like, there's a corner route that's completed to Terry. It's cover two. So he IDs cover two. He stares down the flat, like the smash or the out, the 5 yard out. The corner, who's kind of in between, steps up to the out. He resets and throws the corner with an absolute laser beam of a throw. Great job, man. Like, absolutely great job. The holding call that Diami gets on, it's like a 3rd and 15 where they throw the screen to whoever it is.
To Terry, yeah.
He checks to that versus nickel pressure. Like, way to be aware of it. They check to a run in the red zone where they get B-Rob a 5 yard gain. Like, again, so seeing, understanding what my answers are versus certain things, great. The touchdown to Terry in terms of ball velocity, just the snap on his release, just in terms of looking healthy. There was a throw over the middle of the field late to OZ where they're running a spot concept to the offensive right. He looks at Demario Davis for a second. He sees that he's pushing to the spot. He delivers an absolute laser beam through a tight window right to OZ, who makes the catch for a first down. The throw to Diami on that high cross, like, putting that ball in a perfect position. Like, and so every single throw, I felt like there was some higher level stuff going on where I'm manipulating coverage. I'm getting the ball out quick. I'm being patient where I need to be patient. I'm hurrying where I need to hurry. And to me, that was the thing that really stood out to me in terms of his, how he played the quarterback position. It wasn't like, oh yeah, these big plays are great. And that's obviously true. And there's certain games where you watch him and he's just kind of out there. He's throwing hitches. He's being kind of a game manager. I felt like this game, he elevated the offense in a way that I haven't seen him do probably since Cincinnati, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's been a while. And he really, maybe New York, the second New York game, he really did an excellent job and looked to me like a true NFL quarterback. There's a couple times, like that one he throws to Bates on that kind of mesh that ends up being a first down where there's a free yep. runner right in the pocket. He narrows his base, gets the ball out right over top of that, kind of with a weird arm angle. And we could go through every single throw, but they all were like that. There was just a simple flat route to Zach, or a simple stick route to Zach. The guy's kind of clouding the window. He pumps to the flat and then comes back and throws the stick with excellent feet, excellent base, excellent accuracy. So he took 8 sacks, which is not great. You don't want that. But the dynamic plays he made, and then the consistent just NFL quarterback stuff, identifying coverage, getting the ball where it needed to go. Like, I really, like, I came out and I was like, dang, this is really good stuff, really high level stuff by him.
Yeah. And he was pretty leveraged in this game, in part because of some protection stuff. Also, there was a lot of zone read in this game where he had to make decisions. And, after the game, I was like, I don't know how well he managed that part. Going back and looking at it, like, there was like 2 that I'm like, that probably, but like, we're talking about like 8 or 10 zone reads in this game where he gives it correctly on some of these that get stuffed because the blocking is bad on the front side. And again, we'll get there. But like, he largely made correct reads on that. There in the first half of this game, there were like 4 or 5 plays where they stunted on the right side of the O-line. And Sam Cosmi and Andrew Wiley had trouble passing it off. Cosmi had one of his worst games of his career, frankly, in this game. And so Jaden's taking on pressure and he figures out a way to move around it or get the ball out. And he just consistently had to make higher level plays. And the Saints did a good job in some coverage stuff where he, as you said, moved them just enough and the ball's over an outstretched hands or around a guy. And the snap he has, it's just really good stuff consistently throughout the games, which is why it's kind of weird that the offense got bogged down. It felt like in the second half is like, I don't know if they went 3 and out. I don't think they went 3 and out the entire game.
Yeah.
Like this entire, that's gotta be like a 12 play drive. That's probably 8 or 9 play drive. That's probably like a 10 play drive. I guess the only 3 and out was the end of the first half where the half ended after 3 plays, but it wasn't like they were on a 3rd down and were going to punt. Right. So they just consistently found ways to convert. And sometimes that was also him making plays with his legs. I mean, the 4th and 1 where he just is like, I got to figure out where to go. And he finds it, like the competitiveness of him, Dan talks about all the time, but like you see it.
Like that call that New Orleans had up, was literally like, we're going to pinch the end. You're going to take away the run. We have an overhang player. Then DeMario Davis is going to fit in between. So there literally was like no place to go. If you hand it off, it's going to be a tackle for loss. If you take it, you're going to get tackle for loss. And then for him to kind of Superman figure that out, fake it to the outside, dive over the pile, like that's a big time play on the 45 in your own end, and on your own side of the field. Like, and again, like the I know he missed these throws, but the reads on those Terry throws at the end of the game, like where he missed them, I understand he missed them, but like he's reading dagger on the first one to Terry. And so you only throw the through or the clear on a dagger versus man-to-man coverage or 2-man. And it's man-to-man coverage. And Terry smokes his dude. And so the fact you even got there in terms of read is like just showing how you're seeing the defense. So, and you missed the throw, whatever. The all go that he throws to Terry that just goes off his fingertips because Terry kind of slows down. Like the fact you even saw that, like he just felt like he was seeing it so well, which was great, which was so cool to see. Cause again, like every week you're like, can he keep getting better? Can he play better? And I felt like this was a game where he just really understood and could visualize what New Orleans was trying to do to him. And he was just kind of able to pick him apart. And, really, really impressive performance by him, I thought.
You talk about the mental toughness too. The last drive of the game is where 2 of those go balls come. And this is also why, like, Cliff, should he have done this, done that? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Cliff seemed to call a pretty good game. He just stays aggressive and he's finding shots in the fourth quarter. Like, I think that's something too that's really impressive about Cliff is like, he found ways to generate big plays that should have been daggers. And one of them, ironically, on a dagger where they dropped the coverage, as we just mentioned. But like, he found ways that were going to be knockout punches and Jaden missed them barely by a matter of feet, inches. But on the final drive, there's 2 of the misses to Terry. First one's on a 2nd and 8. It's the all go versus cover 2. And on the very next play, instead of like, oh man, I got to go make a play, I got to get it all back, He just checks the ball down to Sinnott. Like, it's a quick play.
Oh, yeah, that was a nice play.
Takes what's there. Sinnott, you know, rumbles forward. They almost get to the first down. Instead, it's fourth and one, and then Jaden is able to convert. By the way, Michael Dieter did not have a great game. On that particular play, he buried his dude, which is why Jaden was able to jump over.
Oh, nice.
If that's just like a regular block, there's nowhere to go. Dieter just absolutely pancakes his dude, and Jaden jumps over the pancake, which is a phrase, jumps over the pancake, a phrase I never thought I'd say on a podcast, but here we are. So they get the first down. On the very next play, that is the next Terry Go ball that he misses. And next play is a run for B-Rob. Now it's 3rd and 3. Bang, little easy one to Bates. They get another first down. He didn't get like, oh my God, I got to get it all back. Yeah. Oh my God, I have to do too much. Instead, he's just like, all right, missed opportunity. That sucks. I'll get him next time. But I'm not going to go create the next time. I'll wait till it comes to me.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, and again, like in this game where he took 8 sacks, and the national media, like I heard PFF talking about, oh, this is why people worry about taking sacks because it kills drives, and I get it, but I think if you were to watch the game the way we've watched it, you'd see all the positive stuff. Like on the play to Terry, you know, the first touchdown he throws where it's just this Tampa 2 look, he like takes the ball down and runs the perimeter, like versus that look versus that route concept, which is just smash 2 corners back over the ball. And then 2 sits on the outside. Like, you just throw the ball right to the back. He'll turn around, catch it, and you run right at the Tampa player who's backing up into the defense. And so they call that same play later in the game, and I'd be darned, man, if he just didn't catch the snap right away. B-Rob sneaks through. There's a pressure coming. There's an unblocked guy right over the top of that dude to B-Rob for a 9-yard gain. Like, even in the context of the game, like, just he just seemed like he knew what was happening. And there was a couple, like we talked about, on the zone pressure where he takes that sack from the corner, like where he obviously got or whatever. But I'd say on the whole, you know, what did he have, 49 dropbacks? Like, he made really good decisions about when to scramble, about taking care of the football on a lot of them. And it, again, just a really impressive performance. And I think, like, to your point on that last little sequence of drive there, you were talking about, like, that ball to Diami on that kind of deep crosser is just special, quite frankly, you know. And again, it gets taken back because of a hold, which is a good call. It's an annoying call, but it's a good call. And I can't say enough positive things about his performance outside of the sacks.
Yeah. Which brings us to, I guess, the last little piece, which isn't really about Jaden, but why he was so leveraged in this game, why he had to drop back so many times. The run game was just really rough in this one. And I came out of this game, I actually caught myself on the post-game show. And it's easier for me to have to try to be the rational one when Chris Russell is in your box as opposed to you. I just get to be irrational radio man when I'm sitting here next to you. When it's Russell, I'm like, all right, one of us has got to have our hands on the wheel here at 10-2. But I was like, there are too many times that I've come out of games thinking that Cliff should have done X. And then I watched the tape and I'm like, nope, Cliff was right. I'm an idiot. What am I talking about? So I was like, I feel like right now they should have run the ball more, but I want to see how it played out. And after watching it back, I get why Cliff, he didn't really abandon the run, because there still are like some good gains late in this game, but they didn't lean into the run in the way that I thought they would, but it's because they didn't run the ball like we thought they would.
Yeah. No, I think that's 100% right. And going back and watching the film, specifically the running back runs, obviously when you look at Jaden's scrambles, that really elevates the total. But when you look at Brian Robinson's runs, it was really messy up front. Very, very messy. And what I mean by that is, you got guys losing one-on-ones. You know, one of the five guys, or one of the six guys, if you include Bates. Sinnott had a couple losses too, where you're losing, like in a situation, and it negatively affects the outcome of the game. They all kind of took turns doing that. Like, no one had a perfect game in that regard. If there's one guy who played well in the run game, was Wiley. You know, like, he didn't really have a lot of mental mistakes. Did a really nice job. Didn't have a lot of physical losses, but everybody else, man, there's a bunch of that. I thought New Orleans also came out and lined up in some kind of funky fronts. Like, I actually had to call one of my O-line buddies, and I was like, what would you actually call the spacing on this front? He's like, I call this the jam front, you know, where you cover the three guys on the inside. I'm like, but there's a four-eye, there's a backside shade. And he's like, this is jam in principle, but like, they're fudging you a little bit to kind of mess with the angles and stuff. And so that's really hard to do on the fly with a backup center. Like, getting that stuff targeted is tough, and they did that a couple times. And then also, I thought they, you know, when they're running new looks, new runs, they didn't have the details all the way locked in on some of those. You get guys unblocked because of rules and counts. So there was a kind of a comedy of errors in this game in terms of, you know, Dieter's going the wrong way on a couple plays. The snap's off, so you can't get the zone read.
The timing was really funky, too, on those. Like, Dieter's moving before everybody. I mean, he's the guy snapping it, so of course. But, like, the harmony that an O-line moves with and that is there with Biotish, it was not there with Dieter.
Yeah, and so again, like, this isn't one guy. This isn't like, so-and-so played really bad. It's like everybody didn't play their best game. You know, Dieter had some issues. He also had some good stuff like you talked about in the 4th-and-1. But on the whole, this was maybe the messiest performance they've had as an offensive line. Like, even when you watch the Philly game, the guys are getting beat, but they're going to the right guys. They're in good battles. Here, they're kind of going the wrong way. They're letting guys run through gaps. Like, they're getting kind of stoned at the line of scrimmage. Stuff that we haven't really seen from this group. And I will say the New Orleans defensive line specifically played really well. You know, their two ends. We talked about Granderson. We talked about Chase Young. We talked about, what's his name? Number 94 for them.
Cam Jordan,
number 98. They're huge edge players. And they set physical edges. And then you look at John Ridgeway on the interior. He played a great game. And number 93 for them had the silent count timed up perfectly. He's penetrating gaps. He's splitting double teams. We can't get to the linebacker. Like, it was a little bit of a slugfest in there. And kudos to them. They did a great job. And it was for all of the reasons we just talked about.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to the Saints too. Like, Darren Rizzi, this is good tape for him overall in terms of, can you inspire a team to play physically on both sides of the ball?
Yeah.
There are some absolute slobber knocker hits in this game. Like, interior, not on ball carriers, but so like, you probably didn't see them on TV, but there's one play where Bates, and like, John Bates will hit the
He's been, and I've said this to you before, like, maybe I don't know if on air, but like in passing, like, he's had a really just a physical kind of tough guy, blue collar year, maybe one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL, like, no joke. And I remember the player you're talking about gets
wrecked in the hole.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen Bates get hit by that. Like, not just stunned where it's stalemate. He gets knocked back into the back 3-4 yards. And we'll talk about the defense quickly here in a second. We're going to do more of the defense on the Thursday pod as we talk about some of the changes they made and how those can translate to the Eagles matchup. But we'll do a quick buzz of the defense for this game. But like, there's a play late in the game. I think it's the last drive of the game where New Orleans is still running it and just being like, hey, you're going to give us this. And I think it's MVS just absolutely escorts Quan Martin out the club. And you're like, whoa, that's serious. And that doesn't happen to guys like Quan Martin. So I think there is probably stuff where Quinn on tape is getting in front of them yesterday on Tell the Truth Monday. And is like, guys, we can't get out physical like this. Yeah. You have to, at some point, as, you know, independent, neutral analysts here, be like, yeah, that's true,
But also hat tip to the Saints on blowing some of this stuff up with pure physicality.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Like in some ways, I think this it's good that it happened this week.
Yeah,
because that's how Philly plays. They play very similar to that, and so you got to make sure your mouthpiece is in. You got all the screws on your helmets are nice and tight. Make sure that's nice and fit because it's going to be one of those games. And so I think it's good that you got a taste of that this week because I'm speaking from experience. You know, I've been blown up in the hole. I've been knocked down. I've been thrown to the ground, and that feels bad. It doesn't feel good. You want to make sure you're improving on a film, and I would approach that next week with a little bit more of a mindset. And so I think it's good. It's good you kind of got beat. It's good that you won, but also kind of got beat up because then you can kind of refocus and say, hey, like the reason we were so dominant versus Tennessee is because we ran the ball so effectively. Like we need to bring that type of mindset every single week. And I think it's also important to note that I think you see the importance of Tyler Biadasz, not only as a player, obviously very significant there in terms of targeting protections, targeting runs, all those different things, but also just in terms of the leadership. Like he's a guy that when you're on the sideline, like I'll be, you know, I pace back and forth between possessions and sometimes I'll see him. And he's a guy that maybe doesn't say a lot, but is very, very demonstrative when he's talking to people. And you can tell that he's kind of like the goose at the head of the V, like he's leading everybody forward. And I think, not having him out there was significant. And I think that's something else we got to talk about. We'll save it for the preview show, but hopefully he's back. But you lose Ertz, you lose maybe Jeremy Chinn for a week with the concussion. Like this becomes a little bit dicey in terms of making sure you got enough pass catchers on offense. And, you know, losing one of your better players on defense is going to be tough too. So,
yeah, the injuries definitely are a big. I mean, you saw him in the game too. Like some of the stuff that where I think they could have gotten some extra conversions or, you know, that play in the red zone that we talked about. Like that's a Zach Ertz play. And unfortunately, that showed up. Chin's absence showed up in a big way on a couple of plays late in this game. But we also had the Marshawn Lattimore addition, which changed a bunch of stuff. So let's talk about the defense real quick before we get on out of here.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.